When the novel The Elegance of the Hedgehog was first published in France in 2006, it topped its bestseller list. It's now been translated into English. The author, Muriel Barbery, taught philosophy in Normandy, and the main character in this book, René Michel, the concierge of a Paris apartment building, also knows a thing or two about philosophy that might surprise the wealthy tenants. René is the hedgehog of the title. Her talents are hidden beneath her spikes. In many reviews, the book has been described as charming, and it's even been compared to Proust. But our reviewer, Anna Hedigan, found it a bit too much like puff pastry.
According to Paloma, the 12-year-old diarist in this blockbuster French novel, the hedgehog has refinement that belies its fierce appearance. Under the quills, it is terribly elegant. She's musing on the inner life of one of the few working-class people in her refined world, René Michel, the concierge in her building. If you've been sucked into an SBS late-night sexy movie, you will have come across the concierge. They live in a small flat off the foyer with a blaring TV and something evil-smelling boiling on the stove. Paloma suspects René of hedgehog-like tendencies. Perhaps her boiled cabbage is only a smokescreen. Welcome to the world of Muriel Barbery's The Elegance of the Hedgehog, set amongst the Parisian bourgeoisie. Its trajectory is sentimental, its characters types rather than fully fleshed, but there's something comforting about such a book. Like your favourite bistro, its furniture is well-worn, the menu hardly glanced at. It reminded me of Thomas Harris's Hannibal Lecter books, which also glance across intellectual refinements with a conspiratorial breeziness. Harris dropped references to John Donne and the etchings of William Blake as easily as the jargon of FBI criminal profilers, and the reader felt very clever. Barbery gives us a potted analysis of phenomenology, critical appreciations of Japanese film, and a child who mocks the intellectual pretensions of her family with haughty dismissals of particular schools of psychoanalysis. Imagine the film Amélie and substitute Sartre and de Beauvoir chain-smoking outside Les Deux Magots for that pretty girl on her bicyclette. Pretentious, but likeable. If Pepe Le Pew is your idea of a true Frenchman, then Barbery's caricatures won't bother. There's the Epicurean restaurant reviewer, the spoilt children of the intelligentsia, and the homeless man who philosophises from inside his cardboard box. And most repugnant of all is the misunderstood nobility of the working class. Yes, Paloma is right. Madame Michel is a kindred spirit at the heart of her cabbage, a lover of Tolstoy open to Socratic dialogue with fellow enlightened souls. René's best friend is a Portuguese cleaning lady, but also a hidden aristocrat. It's the upper classes in their swanky rooms upstairs who are really the bores. René narrates the other half of the novel to Paloma in a secret world of tea ceremonies, devotion to literature, and appreciation of aesthetic beauty. She's a, and I quote, camellia en moss kind of person. She believes the beautiful moments in life raise us from the muck of base instinct and depravity, examples of which abound in her building. The simple arc of the novel is to bring the two narrators together, lonely poles of enlightenment who for their own reasons hide their brilliance. Barbery clearly thinks that nobody likes the smarty pants. The book is subtly anti-intellectual. Natural, unfettered intelligence, the wisdom of the autodidact, is favoured above expert opinion. School and university are a waste of time, used by scoundrels like Paloma's sister Colombe to assert themselves in the social strata and imprison the spirit as rich, educated Cartesian French people. The book is almost sunk by too many digressions into contemplation of abstract philosophy, but it regains momentum with the arrival of Monsieur Ozu, who buys one of the apartments. Somewhat predictably, he's very refined and sorts the gold from the dross post-haste. He moves the story along by cracking the reserve of both Paloma and René with his shared exquisite taste, disapproval of class boundaries and sense of humour. It helps that he's also very rich, but not in a showy way. The friendship that develops between Ozu and Paloma rather disappointingly defangs her diaries. As she gets happier, there are more platitudes and less of the mordant wit that only a smart girl with a bleak view can provide. Her acid sketches of people, particularly her psychobabble mother, Republican programmed robot father and her pretentious sister, are seriously funny and work to keep the more anodyne aspects of Barbary's writing in check. What started off as a minor irritation with the featherlight whimsy of this book broke out into a major rash for me when Ozu arrived. I don't mind spun sugar storylines every now and again, but it was the relentless caricatures and smugness that did me in. For a work that criticises the triteness of the middle class for trading off privilege and squandering intelligence to appear merely clever, it fails on its own criteria of real connectedness. There's a twist in the tale that proves Barbary cannot have her protagonists sullied by real life. The Elegance of the Hedgehog is at best as slight and delicious as one of the tissue-wrapped pastries that Renée has with her afternoon tea.
Anna Hedigan there, she didn't like it so much, reviewing The Elegance of the Hedgehog by Muriel Barbary. It's published by Gallic Books on ABC Radio National. I'm Ramona Koval. You're on The Book Show.